verse 4 this morning. Psalm 70. We'll read all 5 verses. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for reward of their shame that say, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, Let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying. As we said this morning, this psalm occurs with some minor variations in Psalm 40, verses 13 through verse 17. And there it comes at the end of a psalm of thanksgiving. The 70th psalm opens with a brief and urgent plea for God's deliverance, for God's help. That is followed by a mention of some dangers in verses 2 and 3. The dangers were that there were those who sought his soul, desired his hurt, and triumphed over him. In verse 5, David states that it's not in him to produce what he needs. And then that's followed by a plea, make haste unto me, O God. And then that is followed by words of faith and assurance. O God, thou art my help and my deliverer. And then that is followed by another urgent plea. O Lord, make no tarrying. I want to speak tonight on living life in the awareness of God's deliverance and help. In this psalm, we see that David was very aware of some things. He had a consciousness and a mindfulness about him. We want to see 4 things that he was very personally aware of, things that we ought to be aware of as well. First of all, there was an awareness of danger. We see David's alertness or awareness to such as seen in verse 2. He talks about those who seek after my soul, those that desire my hurt. In the following psalm, which really is a continuation, we see in verse 10, he speaks of those that wait, that lay wait for my soul. Now, the world, of course, is beset with a wide variety of danger. Paul mentioned some of these dangers that he experienced in his own life. Notice if you keep a mark in the psalm and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. There's perils everywhere we go. There are certain risks. There are certain dangers. Everywhere we go, there are dangerous possibilities. And in order to get to where we're going, there are dangerous possibilities. But The greatest peril, the greatest danger that all of us are in is soul peril, spiritual danger. And David speaks of those who seek after his soul. This goes beyond individuals that seek to kill us, as many did in David's day. They seek after my soul. He was aware that there were dangers to his soul. It's true everywhere. And anywhere we go, even in the house of God, that there are not dangers to our souls. We have to always be aware of that. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary has a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom he may have opportunity to eat up, to consume, and to destroy. And all around us are people that are a danger to our soul. We ourselves are a danger to our soul. There are philosophies that are dangerous to our spirituality. There are human reasonings that are dangerous to us spiritually. And there are all kinds of ways in the world that seek to consume us spiritually. There is an incessant bombardment of that which seeks to turn us away from right thinking. You realize it only takes 1 second of wrong thinking to ruin your life. There's always those trying to turn us aside from right thinking, right perception. It's very important that we have right perception, that we see things through the right lens, which is God and His Word. All kinds of things that seek to turn us away from right priorities, to turn us away from that which is holy, to turn us away from prayer, from the Word of God, from the ways of God, from the worship of God. And this is always so. And again, we are a danger to ourselves. The world is filled with furious, fierce, conniving, and deceitful forces that are relentless, and they are determined in the seeking of our soul. Forces that seek to draw us away from God. Forces that seek to imprison us spiritually. That seek to distract us spiritually. These are great dangers. These are the greatest of dangers. Dangers to our soul, or dangers to our spiritual well-being. There is the incessant influence of evil. We carry it around with us. Our hearts are very evil. Our nature is evil. There's those things that, again, that seek to swallow us up spiritually. Everywhere we turn, there's that which seeks to zap spiritual strength, to stunt spiritual growth. There are numerous factors that seek to split oneness with Christ and to sever fellowship with the Lord. David was very much aware that there were forces that were after his soul. He also said, they desire my hurt. And this is spiritually as well. It's in the context of seeking the soul. They desire my hurt. There are forces that aspire. They yearn, they are eager, and they are determined to injure us spiritually. Spiritual wounds are greater than any physical wound. To disable us spiritually. There are a lot of people today who are spiritually disabled. They are spiritually disabled. Spiritually mutilated. Spiritually damaged. Spiritually weakened. And there are those forces that seek to ruin us spiritually. And David is very much aware that these forces were after his soul. So again, our greatest danger is spiritual danger. Most important part of us is our soul. These bodies are going to die. Our soul isn't. The soul is the most important part of us. The spiritual part of us is the most important. And all that people would give attention to their spiritual needs more than their physical needs. We're to take care of our physical needs. We're to take care of ourselves physically. But we're to take care of ourselves spiritually also. And that's even more important. Notice also in verse 3, he speaks of those who say, "Aha, aha." There's the implication there that the enemy is triumphing over him. There is a sense of discouragement. There is a sense of defeat. These are great dangers. Spiritual discouragement is a great danger. Anytime an enemy triumphs over us spiritually, that is a great, great danger. That is a very serious situation. And we must always be aware of the enemy forces that seek to triumph over us. It can be a thought. It can be a mindset. It can be a person. It can be a philosophy. It can be anything. Always be aware of giving in to the feeling of defeat and discouragement as one of the tools that the forces of evil seek our soul to bring us to those places. These forces seek to build mighty fortifications in our minds. Oh, we allow the devil to build forts in our minds. We build forts in our minds and in our hearts. These are great dangers. And David is aware of these dangers. Secondly, David had an awareness of self. One of the areas that we are the least aware is self. An awareness of self. Not who we think we are, but who we are. An awareness of self. Notice in verse 5, David says, "I am." We can insert a lot of things after those words. I am. It means we are something. We're in some condition. Notice, we'll look at several verses here. Go through the Psalms. In Psalm 6, in verse 2, We're not going to read the entire verse. I just want to pick out a few words. I am weak. I am weak. Verse 6. I am weary with my groaning. I am weak. I am weary. Psalm 22, verse 14. I am poured out like water. I'm poured out like water. That is, there's nothing left. It's empty. Psalm 25, verse 16. Last part of that verse says, I'm desolate and afflicted. I'm desolate and afflicted. And I believe in all these verses, David is speaking spiritually. Psalm 31, verse 9. He says, I'm in trouble. I am in trouble. A lot of people are in trouble spiritually and they don't even know it. Verse 22. I am cut off from before thine eyes. There was a separation between himself and the Lord. Psalm 38, verse 6. Again, I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. That speaks of a weight pressing upon him. Verse 8. I am feeble and sore broken. Verse 17, for I am ready to halt. I am ready to halt. I am ready to stop. Quit. Psalm 39, verse 10, I am consumed by the blow of thine hand. Again, I am consumed. I'm poured out like water. There's nothing left. He is saying, I feel like there's just nothing left. I have no energy, whatever. There's nothing left. In Psalm 40, in verse 12, he said, I am not able to look up. I am not able to look up. He's not talking about physically. He's talking spiritually. Psalm 69, well, in verse 17, he says, but I am poor and needy. And then in Psalm 69, and verse 2, I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. Verse 20, I am full of heaviness. Psalm 77, verse 4. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Psalm 88, verse 15. First part of that verse, he says, I am afflicted. To what degree I'm ready to die. He closes, I am distracted. Psalm 102, verse 11. I am withered like grass. That is, I'm feeble. And once again, I'm withered. There's just not much left, is what he's saying. Psalm 109. In verse 23, I am gone like the shadow when it declineth. I am tossed up and down. Verse 83 of Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 83. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke. What does that mean? We could put it like this. I'm about to crack. I am like a bottle in the smoke. So we see over and over, David says, I am. And then he declares something about himself. He was aware of himself. He was aware that he was needy. In our text here in Psalm 70, he says, I am poor and needy. He declared the same thing in Psalm 40, verse 17, Psalm 86, verse 1, Psalm 109, verse 22. In all of these verses that we've just read, I can identify with every single one. I am. If I'm not that now, I have been. But I'll be honest with you, I've been under satanic assault for some time, and I can put these in the present. I am. It's an awareness of self. But again, he says, I am poor and needy. And that needs to be taken in the context of verse 1. When he's crying out to God to deliver him, to be his help. When he says, I am poor and needy, what he's saying is, I am unable, in and of myself, to fix this. I have a necessity. I have a need. But David was a spiritual man. And over, and again, you read through the Psalms, I am. I am. David was in some terrible places, spiritually. And if we're honest, happens to all of us. Unfortunately, we live in a time when you'd better be careful who you tell, I'm in this spiritual pit. You better be careful who you tell. Because most people today are judgmental, critical, and all they care about is spreading gossip. It's a shame, but it's true. We need to be aware of self. We need to be aware of the danger we're in. Need to be aware of self. Thirdly, there was an awareness of need. Personal need. Again, David is aware of his danger. He says, I'm poor and needy. That is, he's aware of his inability. He's aware of his insufficiency in himself. In verse 1, he is aware that he needs deliverance. But he can't deliver himself. He is aware that he needs help. He's aware of this. He's aware there's a need. I have this need in my life. And he prays in verse 1. Deliver me. Oh God, deliver me. Rescue me from this state. Release me from this state. He also prays, help me. The word help means to give aid. to relieve. It could mean to cure. It could mean to avail against or to prevent something from happening. Help me. To help can be to provide a remedy, to enable, to supply, to furnish. He prays, help me. And all of and these requests are very personal. Deliver me. Help me. Because he realizes it's a personal need that he must have. It comes from the realization, these prayers come from the realization of personal need. Both words, deliver and help, imply the presence of a problem. There's a problem. I need deliverance. I need help. It implies that there is a difficulty. It implies that there is a concern. Maybe even a state of distress. Deliver, help. It implies that there is a trial of some kind. There is a grief of some kind. Perhaps a heartache of some kind, a misery, a suffering, a shortcoming, a weakness. It can go on and on. But the very words deliver and help implies problems. But David realized he had a need. In our text, the awareness of the need is not just a simple awareness. The awareness of the need is acute. He says in verse 1, two times, make haste, O God. Make haste, O Lord. In other words, God, you've got to come right now because I can't continue this way. It was urgent. An urgent need. He went on to say in verse 5, make haste unto me, O God, unto me. And he closes in verse 5, O Lord, make no tarrying. Do not delay. I need you. I need you right now. This can't wait. I need you right now. Deliver me. Help me. In the following psalm, verse 12, he says, make haste for my help. This reveals the urgency that David felt concerning his need. He sees that he has spiritual danger. He sees what he is in himself. I am poor and needy, and in all the other verses that we have read. And he feels that this is a desperate situation. This is critical. This is very pressing. This is very grave. This is a top priority situation. Lord, deliver me. Help me. The question is, can we see our spiritual needs? I'm not talking about looking at anyone else's spiritual needs. Can we have an honest evaluation of self and where we are spiritually? And can we feel an urgency? Lord, I need you to deliver me from this right now. I'm not talking about deliverance from physical things. I'm talking strictly spiritually. I need your help right now. Lord, make no tarrying. I cannot go on unless you intervene in this area in my life. It's an urgent need. And David felt the urgency of it. So there is this awareness of self, an awareness of danger, an awareness of need. We all go through times, periods in our life, and it doesn't necessarily mean that there's some particular sin in our life. But we go through times in our life when we are under assault, attack by Satan. Those are dangerous times. They're dangerous times because of who we are. Because we are weak. And we can be destroyed. We have to realize when we're under these assaults. And we pray that we realize the need of God to the extent that it's urgent. Lord, I feel this way. A lot of times people need to learn to just be honest with God. Don't lie to God. He knows who you are. Lord, I'm depressed. Lord, I feel like I can't go on any further. Lord, I feel like I'm about to crack. Lord, you've got to help me. And Lord, I need your help right now. This is not something that can wait. Because I know who I am. And I know that this can lead to ruin. So he says, make haste. Make no tarrying. And I believe when we cry out to God in that way, he does deliver us. Stretches out his arm and grabs hold of us. It's so important that we're aware of the spiritual conditions that we can get into. And again, we can get there. I'm not even speaking tonight of those who are in some sin. That's not what I'm even talking about. We can get into these conditions, serving the Lord, being faithful. And you can find yourself in these places. They're dangerous places. And they're urgent. And people all around us are in these situations. Fourthly and lastly, and this is most important, again, there's an awareness of danger. There's an awareness of self. There's an awareness of need. And there's awareness of God. There's an awareness of God. Notice verse 5. Notice those two words, I am. And then skip several words and notice two more words, thou art. What a blessing. I am. You think of all those verses that we read earlier in the Psalms. I am in trouble. I am weary. I am a bottle in the smoke, and on and on. And next to that, thou art. Whatever we are, whatever our spiritual condition, we need to be honest enough to say, I am. But then we can't stop there. We need to go on. Thou art. Thou art. Doesn't change who God is. whatever our condition might be. I am, but then he says, thou art. We need to see who God is in light of who we are. I am, thou art. There was an awareness of who and what God is. Thou art, present tense. While I am, whatever that condition is, thou art, present tense, right now. He goes on to say, thou art my. That's personal. We come up empty if we say I am, thou art, but if you can't add my, it doesn't mean a whole lot. Thou art my help and my deliverer. You realize there's never a time that's not true. Thou art my help. Thou art my deliverer. There are a lot of times people can't help us. People can't. They can't. They don't have the ability. They don't even know. And they can't. And a lot of times when people try to help, they have their own definition of what is help, and their help ends up being more trouble than the problem. Thou art my help and my deliverer. He's saying throughout the psalm, I need help. Is there anyone here that does not need help? Right now. We need help. We need deliverance. I mean, is there anyone here? I mean, you don't have to say it now, but if seriously. Is there anybody here that does not need deliverance of some kind? Let me know after service. I would really like to talk to you. I would like to know the secret. I need help. I need deliverance. And God, you're what I need. You are my help. You are my deliverance. I need help right now. I need deliverance right now. And right now, you are my helper. And right now, you are my deliverer. In other words, God, I need you, and I need you right now. And we're not to use God as a fire escape, live like the devil, and then when you get in trouble, oh Lord, I need you. But this is how we'd always live. Help, God. Deliver me, God. A thought crosses our mind. And we need to pray many times. Oh, God, help me. Deliver me. Why did I even think that? Or we find ourselves in we can get in some bad places. Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to deliver me. But we need to, again, be honest enough. Honest enough with God. In order to cry out for His help. And sometimes we really don't even know what's wrong with us. We just know something's wrong. And all you can do is, Lord, help. Help. Our granddaughter, Aria, I just thought of this sometimes. She says, Papa, why am I like this? And it cracks me up. But we need to ask ourselves that. Why am I like this? Why do I feel this way? And many times we just need to pray, Lord, help me. Deliver me. So all may we realize the danger that is all around us. Realize the insufficiency of self. Be aware of our personal need. And if you find yourself sinking in the water, you find yourself in a pit, believe it or not, you're not the only one. I almost guarantee you that the person sitting next to you, behind you, in front of you is in some kind of pit or sinking in some kind of water too. We need to be aware of personal need. But oh, how aware we need to be of God. We can never, ever lose sight that He is my help. He is my deliverer. Need to always have that awareness of God. And that led David to pray fervently. That led David to pray earnestly. Make haste, O God. Make no tarrying. He's praying as if his life depended upon God coming to his rescue. That's how we need to pray many times. As if our very life depended on it. Because in some aspects, that's what's at stake. Our very spiritual life. So he prayed fervently. And he prayed earnestly. And may we be a people, especially within a body of Christ, that do not have to be afraid of saying, brother, sister, would you pray for me because I am such and such. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. And we could have enough confidence that they're not going to go home and get on the computer and tell as many people as they can. But that they'll go home and pray. And pray. And pray. It's a great blessing when you and I have enough sense to cry out to God for help. And it's a great blessing to know that there's someone else praying as well. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, I've shared this with them and I trust them and I know they're praying too. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. Again, James says, confess your faults one to another. And then he says, pray. Pray. That's what it's all about. That's the emphasis. Oh, that we would be aware of who we are. What our condition is at all times. And if we don't know what our condition is, then you need to ask God to search us and reveal to us what our spiritual condition is. And He will. He'll show you. I think that's why a lot of people don't ask, because they know He will show them. He'll show you. And then what do? We, Lord, help me. Help me. Deliver me. See, I can come to you or you can come to me. You can say, Brother Dan, you know what your problem is? I had a man in Streamwood tell me that once. He said, Brother Dan, you know what your problem is? I said, well, I don't, but I'm guessing that you're going to tell me. But we need to be aware of ourselves. We need to be aware of ourselves, be aware of our need. And do not lose sight of the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.